It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Thatcher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Takes the snap. He play fakes Dwight. He looks down the middle. He fires, and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England is taking the lead.
I love Tom Brady. Man, Danny, playoff Amendola. So many on his drive. Amendola elevates 1 foot.
What a catch.
2 foot.
Right foot down.
Oh, my
left
God.
Left foot toe tap.
Clutch.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer from MMQB and NBC Sports Boston is in. Well, that ended abruptly.
Okay.
I thought there was something wrong with my headphones.
Yeah, well, so did I. Is in studio. There was yesterday. The legal tampering is all over the place, and I guess at 4 o'clock today, all these deals will become official. Bert is in here to make some sense of things. 617-779-0985. Which, by the way, is the number that I put on everything where you have to sign up and ask for your telephone number. This is the number that everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get to talk to Bird.
Kids' school emergency.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, call the hotline. Talk to Bird.
I have like a home line that no one ever answers, but it kept saying like emergency stuff, and it was calling to say the trash was going to get picked up a day later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no kidding, really? That's it. Wow. But why does the mail not come?
Today?
Yesterday.
Mine came yesterday.
It did?
Yes.
Mine did too.
Yeah, 100%.
Your mail came?
Yeah, yep. I saw my mail guy while I was shoveling, dropped off mail. I got mail yesterday.
See, we don't get mail during this time. I like the mailmen in the
neighborhood.
And in Newton,
too, you'd figure with all that money you're spending on property taxes
and
whatnot.
Well, you assume that all the important correspondence, the market... The implications on the stock market,
mm-hmm.
if the people in Newton are not given their mail in a timely manner. So right. Today it's going to be all jammed up.
It's like Newman. He doesn't deliver the mail in the bad weather.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be a hustler behind.
We actually don't have a mailbox, so I can't relate with any of this. Believe it or not.
So you don't get mail?
No, we have a P.O. box.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've lived there for 2 years. And you gotta jump
to the PO box.
The people who lived there before didn't have a mailbox for one reason or another. People who lived in our house before were weird. But
are you just afraid to have the Breers at the end of the driveway?
And there's all these hoops you've got to jump through to put a mailbox up, and I didn't know about
dig a hole.
So I've just kind of been lazy the last 2 years.
Put up a post, attach the mailbox.
We live like walking distance to the post office.
Right.
So I'm just like, the hell with it. Like, I don't want to jump through all those hoops to get a mailbox put up. I'm just going to get a P.O. box.
I get dead cats on the dark web.
Delivered?
I can't have
the biggest problem. The biggest problem with having a P.O. box is having to ask everyone when they're shipping something to you, are you sending it by U.S. mail, or are you sending it by FedEx or UPS or whatever?
FedEx won't send it to a P.O. box?
Exactly, yeah. I lost a couple. When we first moved there, a couple things never got to me because I had them send it. I gave them my P.O. box number. Then they tried to send it FedEx, and it just got lost somewhere.
Well, these are the trials and tribulations of Mr. Burt Breer.
Seriously.
It's a hard life.
That's tough living that life.
You go down there and anything goes. All right, Burt, let's start out with Amendola.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were the whole time they were like, Amendola, don't worry about him. He's going to take less money. He doesn't want to leave New England.
I'll tell you what, I never thought that. Like, I think what you're seeing now, which is really interesting with a lot of these Patriot players, Deion Lewis, I think, fits into this group too. People would come here to gravy train a ring, right? There are a lot of guys there now who have their rings and who are getting past their second contracts. And think about it, if you're Danny Amendola, you had to fight your way off a practice squad to get in the NFL in the first place. Then you bounced from team to team for a little while. You found a place with the Rams where you could actually kind of get your footing and produce. Then you land here, and it wasn't comfortable at first. And
right.
then Edelman winds up taking your spot. And then to stay here, you've got to take pay cut year after year. And it took him a while to get comfortable here. And he wanted to compete for championships, so he stayed and he stuck it out and he took pay cuts. Now you're 32 years old. The end's in sight. Again, you're beat up. Like, wouldn't you take the money?
Take the money.
But why would he do it now? Deion Lewis, same thing.
Why would he do it now? Why wouldn't he do it last year? He had a ring last year. He's 31 instead of 32. They asked him to take a pay. Why didn't he do it last year?
Because he's free now. Because his contract's up. Last year.
But when they asked him to take a pay cut, you can leave.
He took it, yeah. And Look, I think part of it was wanting to see this through.
When they asked me to take a first pay cut, maybe. Look, when they asked you to take a second and a third, I would have been gone years ago if I were Amendola.
And I can understand that. Like, I think part of it for him was seeing this through. And I think a huge part of it is we all talked about this in November, December, how this felt like the end of something. And I think there were a lot of guys who had that mindset during the year as things got tense here. Like, this is sort of the end of something. And so I think there were guys that came out of this year, all right, now it's time to get mine. Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola. It's just, like, I think there are guys who played here for less, who wanted to compete for championships, who now look at it and say, I got my rings. It was kind of uncomfortable there last year. I can go play a good role somewhere else where I'll be comfortable playing. And I can make my money before I'm done playing.
All right. I want to explore this further because I did not take into account how uncomfortable it was. I'd like to explore that. And then I would like to explore why in the hell the Dolphins signed Danny Amendola. Of all the teams, why the Dolphins decided to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and he had a market. Kansas City came after him. Like,
there was, Kansas City's weird too. Is that they dump everyone and then they go out and get old receivers.
He was out for drinks with Pat Mahomes a couple weeks ago in Dallas. Like, he was looking around and he had a market.
See, I understand Dallas. I don't understand Kansas City. I don't understand the Dolphins. I don't understand why you get a 32-year-old slot receiver. If you're, I mean, what he's not.
Yeah,
the difference.
There are a few things the Dolphins have done that don't make. I don't know about Ndamukong Suh's not what he used to be, but you dump him and then you take on a big contract in Robert Quinn. Are you winding up on the plus side of that? So there are certainly some questions you can ask about the Dolphins.
All right, we'll continue. 617-779-0985. Here's
Toucher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fox Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, Burt Freer, MMQB, NBC Sports Boston in studio talking about free agency and obviously Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler were not surprises. I guess I was a little surprised how much money Malcolm Butler got, but Danny Amendola was a surprise. And Burt, before we went to break, you were talking about people thinking that this was the end, that players, you know, through in December, we're thinking that this might be the end of the road for the team. Are you hearing this from people? Is this just a gut feeling?
No, I think it had to do with the potential the coordinators were going to leave and the tension between, I mean, guys really high up in the organization and how the relationship between Brady and Belichick and Kraft was going to be going forward. And we got evidence on Tom versus Time that's there. And that's real. I mean, like, what we heard from Giselle at the end of that documentary, look, Brady has full editorial control over that. I don't think it was any mistake that it was the last thing that we heard in the documentary. And it tells you that 5 weeks after the season, 6 weeks after the season, whatever we're at now, that's still not fixed. Because if they had some come to Jesus meeting over the last 5 or 6 days, Tom can just say, you know what, let's rip that. Let's take that out of there.
Yeah, and he's playing until he's 45, and they're playing that whole thing up instead of, well, he wants to be appreciated and he wants to have fun.
So that tells me it's still not fixed. And I think Bill's ability to coach Tom a certain way and handle Tom a certain way enables everything. And so that, to me, is the key, is where that relationship is at. Because if that relationship's not in a good place, it can really do damage to the program. I think so much of the way the Patriots are set up and so much of Bill's ability to coach guys a certain way and run his program a certain way is based on his ability to coach Tom Brady hard. And if he can't do that anymore, and we hear it in the documentary.
Right.
It was in the Wickersham piece too, right? He doesn't appreciate the being coached hard anymore.
Right. Like he's chafing at it a little bit.
Yeah.
And for so long, it's the simplest thing in the world, right? It's if you can MF Tom Brady, you can MF anyone in the building, right? Except maybe the boss.
Right.
Like if you can MF Tom Brady, you can MF Rob Gronkowski, you can MF Dante Hightower, you can MF Malcolm Butler, you can MF Stephon Gilmore. You can do that to anybody. It enables a coaching style that I'm not sure would work anywhere else in the NFL, and it works here. You can coach guys an old school way because you've got those skins on the wall and because you have the ability to coach the most successful player in the history of the sport a certain way. No one has any room to say anything. Now, if Brady starts chafing against it and Brady says, you know what, the hell with this. I don't want to be treated this way anymore. Then younger players who probably aren't all that apt to handle that sort of coaching the same way because they haven't been coached that way coming up.
Right. It's like a couple generations of players since Belichick's first started
this. Look at the coaches now. Doug Peterson, Sean McVay, Dan Quinn. How do they coach?
Mm-hmm.
Do they coach that way?
Yeah, no.
Buddy, I mean, like, it sounds like, and I said this on TV the other night, it sounds crazy, but Belichick's coaching style is outdated. I'm not saying it doesn't work. It works. The old school way of doing it absolutely works. It still works. And I think it's been a huge advantage for the Patriots that they've been able to operate in that way for so long. Huge part of it, is being able to treat Brady that way. Is being able to treat Brady like he's a foot soldier. And if you can't do that anymore, then I think that that's damaging. And so that relationship's so important going forward. And getting that right is so important going forward. And I think that's the most interesting thing to come out of that documentary is you watch the last 5 minutes of it, and it's no mistake what's in the last 5 minutes of it.
Right.
That's intentional.
Right.
Like, he had full editorial control. He knew how. He's very intelligent. The people who put that together are intelligent. They knew what they were doing. And so, to me, it's almost like it's a flashing red light to Bill. Fix this.
All right, and so you think that had something to do, excuse me, with Amendola leaving, is that not only money, but...
I mean, I don't think that directly, but I think that there is some feeling with some guys there that, you know, I would have told you 2 months, like, and this isn't me pounding my chest, I would have told you 2 months ago I think Amendola's gone. And the reason why is because I think that, like, with a lot of these guys, it's, I've got my rings, I took less money to stay here, this was a tough year to be in the building. I'm going to go get mine now. And you can't blame them.
No.
I can't. I don't begrudge any player this.
No. Especially if I'm Amendola, who hasn't, in football terms, made a ton of money.
No, they all have good Amendola's been screwed over. He's been asked to take 3 straight pay cuts, right?
Yep.
Lewis got benched to start the year when he was clearly the best back they had. And Butler, we all know the story with him. He gets benched in the Super Bowl, for God's sakes. You know, they won't pay him for the last couple of years. So they all have good reason to leave.
And you also had a lot of people coming out and congratulating Butler on hitting it big. I mean, I think a lot of players went out of their way to post on social media how happy they were that Malcolm Butler got that contract from Tennessee.
Yeah, that reaction. Well, and
that tells you something probably about the attitude of the team.
More to Bert's point.
And go back to the reaction when Butler reacted on social media after the Super Bowl and how many players had his back.
Liking him on Instagram. Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't one of these situations where, you know, the player's on an island and like the players rallied to his back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it validates a lot of the stuff that Seth wrote at the beginning of January, whenever it was. It tells you the problem is real. And the fact that that's sitting in there at the end of that documentary says that they still have a ways to go to fix it.
So one thing that has jumped out to me, and it does tie in with Brady and maybe with some of the other guys too. Like you said that the issue, the tension is the acceptable word. That's the word that the Patriots allow you to use down there. There's mm-hmm. real tension. I've read a little bit into, especially now that Cousins gets his fully guaranteed deal, and I'm curious what Rodgers and Ryan and even Brady are eventually going to get. It's been talked about very matter-of-factly that he'll get an extension. Brady's always come back to the negotiating table. Or a restructure, maybe, is the better word for it.
Yeah.
Does the lack of that tell you anything about where the relationship is at? The fact that we don't know anything about it yet?
Look, if I'm Brady, like, I was waiting for the Cousins deal to get done first anyway.
Right.
The same way if I'm Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger, I'm waiting for that, too. Because...
Okay, but now that it's happened, we should have some progress,
I think if you're Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger, you're probably saying, I'm better than Kirk Cousins. So you're gonna guarantee every dollar in that deal. And this isn't an injury guarantee. You're going to fully guarantee every dollar in that deal. And I think Brady's got the right to ask for the same thing. Absolutely. So now you're talking about tying yourself to Brady. Like this isn't just like you have control over him for the next few years. You're willing to tie yourself to him for the next few years. And what'll be really interesting is one thing that the Patriots and other teams have used as a crutch is this funding rule. You guys know about how that works?
No.
Okay, so there's a funding rule in the NFL. It goes back to the 60s. It's the most archaic thing you can possibly imagine.
Is it the escrow thing? Is it that?
It's the escrow thing, okay. Yeah. So every fully guaranteed dollar in every contract has to be funded. Okay? So Kirk is going to get somewhere between $84 and $87 million fully guaranteed in a three-year deal, right? The Vikings are going to give a certain amount of that to him up front. The rest of it, the Vikings are going to have to write a check for the rest of it to the league. And then the league puts that in an escrow account.
Was that the thing with Andre Rison where the Cleveland had to go to like four banks?
Yeah.
I'm not lying. To
fully guarantee deals.
To fully
guarantee deals.
Wow. Yeah, so, I think they had to go to like four banks.
That's an amazing pull from you.
So this that's escrow, right, baby.
That's very good.
That's bad moon.
So here's the thing. So this went into effect in the 60s, right? Because there were teams that were literally like they could fold. And so this was to protect players. There's no reason for that rule to be on the books anymore. But over the last 20 years, teams have used that as a crutch, saying, well, we'd love to guarantee this money, but we don't. This is going to cause a cash flow issue for us. So why don't we give you an injury guarantee here?
The billionaires crying over a few million.
Right, yeah, and saying, like, we don't, like, this is going to cause a cash flow issue for us, right? And that's part of what the Patriots have said to Brady and taking the full guarantees out of, you know, some of the parts of his deal. And so now that crutch is gone. So now we're going to go from, if this works, like if Kirk gets this and then this becomes Matt Ryan getting it, Ben Roethlisberger getting it, Aaron Rodgers getting it, it's going to go from that rule being bad for the players to now all of a sudden that rule is going to be bad for the owners.
Now,
if that rule comes off the books, then that crutch is gone.
All right. How many years do you think Brady's going to ask for?
He's got 2 years left on his deal. And typically they've done it 2 or 3 years out. Now they've got a bunch of like
everyone's up that year, right?
Yeah,
Gronk and Edelman. There's a ton of guys up there.
Yeah, after 19. Yeah, so like they may want to lower his number. The problem is they've built up some like charges there. Like they've got, I think, about $14 million. I got to look this up, but about $14 million in dead money that they're going to have to deal with off Brady's last deal. So you've got to fold that in now and push that forward. And, you know, assuming you lower his number, like, what number is Brady going to come in at now? Because as of today, there are 20 quarterbacks in the NFL making $18 million a year or more. And you have, I think it's five or six making $25 million a year or more. So,
including his old backup.
Yeah, it could be a little complicated to do a long-term deal. And typically what they've done in the past, I believe the last time they added 2 years, so I would think maybe they add 2 years. That would actually get him, I think, to 45, which is his stated goal, to get to 45.
Right. All right. We'll be back. 617-779-0985, going over everything that happened in free agency, what could happen in the future with Burt. Here are the headlines.
It's T&R, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it. We'll be right back.
I just had to hear it twice. It was so nice I had to hear it twice. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer, MMQB, NBC Sports Boston, and talking about free agency. All right, Nate Solder.
Yep.
Nate Solder, how important is it for the Patriots to retain him? What's the backup plan and who's after him?
It's the second most stable position in the organization over the last 17 years, I'd say, right? I don't think there's even a close. I don't think there's a third that's close to it. It's quarterback is the most stable. And I think left tackle is probably the second most stable. They've literally had two players. At that
slot position. Receiver's been good, but left tackle.
But I'm
left tackle's been more stable. Yeah,
right. Like,
yeah.
Like slot receiver, you've gone from Troy Brown to Wes Welker to a combination of Edelman and Amendola.
By the way, Zolak is retweeting the competition. I just want to make that clear. Like it hasn't occurred to him in his how many years of media experience to not retweet the competition.
So he doesn't think, he just goes.
I don't know. Maybe he does think. Like, maybe he does. Maybe it's a passive-aggressive thing. I have no idea. But does he know it behooves him for us to do well? Like, we're his lead-in. Like, you would think that you would go, oh, yeah. Like, if they do well, then I probably do well.
Oh, look what he tweeted. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, and what are you doing? Did he get back? Did he get back to you?
I enjoyed the shots of Felger Mass.
See, that's fine.
Yes, he just got back to me.
What did he say?
He said, "I'll take it down."
Okay, thank you. I don't think I'm being ridiculous. I'm just like, dude. Yeah, take shots at whoever you want. That's fine. Take shots at me, but please don't start retweeting the competition. My Lord.
How about a like? Would you let a like slide or no?
No.
Well, on Twitter,
trust me, likes can get you in trouble.
On Twitter, if you like something on Twitter, because I haven't been on in a while, does it show up?
No.
In
well,
people's
does it?
Stuff?
What? Does it like?
It's like, say you follow me and I like something. Does it
like,
show up?
Now
on your
I think
feet?
It does. Like, I've seen a few of those where
if you like something. Yes,
maybe
other people can see it, okay. And it'll get you in trouble.
Yeah, if you like,
but,
yes,
like
you,
some big BBW crap,
well, I think we had a problem with that a few months ago.
Wait,
if you remember correctly?
You like some porn thing?
My account was hacked. As Bert can attest, it happens, mm-hmm. And I had about seven or eight of those things liked in my timeline.
Yeah,
Anonymous came after a while.
Sure. Now, I own up to this stuff. Do
they're
I
like,
not?
Yes, they're like, we're going to get, you know who we're going to get? We're going to get John Wallace.
Hey, I've told everyone, I watch porn as much as the next guy. Why would I not own up to that?
See, that's the thing is that you can't get me on the porn thing.
That's true. You're very creative that way.
No, you can't get me on the porn thing.
You just don't look for it on Twitter. That's good.
If you did it and you looked and said, oh, wow, you like some porn, I go, yeah. I like porn.
Yes.
I like looking at it.
Got me. Quiz me.
Not good. Not as much as I used to because right. I'm getting old and,
right. Sure.
And decrepit. Now I just watch Family Guy to go to sleep.
But if you like something, it shows up in everyone's timeline.
Okay, that's the case.
Yes.
All right, Zolak, hello.
I just woke up. You're breaking my balls.
Yeah, of course I am. For good reason. Stop retweeting the competition.
I took it down. Do you know what yesterday was like for me as you re-signed a backup gunner to a gunner and then, hey, let's kick Zolak in the nuts. Listen up to the Nate Ebner deal. And it's probably going to be Joe Cardona getting extended today. They made an offer, supposedly, to a guy other than a special teamer. I got really excited this morning.
All right, that's fine. But please, you understand my deal with that.
I'd go irate, too, if anybody did.
Well, I'm not irate about it, but okay, thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. I love you, too.
So everything's good.
Well,
everything's good now.
I'm not irate at him. No. I'm just like, dude, no. Come on.
No. Dan O'Brien said he might have got hacked. He should have gone with the "I got hacked."
he got hacked and started retweeting.
Yep.
When you got hacked, people just started liking.
Yes. A bunch of porn stuff.
Yeah,
focused on.
See, mine was way worse than that. Like, when I got hacked, I was in, like, the maternity ward of the Brigham.
Wait, you got hacked, too?
No, he got hacked for real.
No, he and Roachie are the two worst that I've ever seen.
Roachie got hacked?
The problem with the way that
Google Albert Breer porn, it'll come up everywhere.
That sounds like something.
Sounds like fun.
Sounds like
fun.
But the problem.
Sounds like something I don't want to watch.
Might have a bunch of pop-up ads, too, come up there.
Yes. Problem with.
There it is.
Who's that? What that you liked?
Not me. No, that one's not me.
See, the problem with Bert and Roach, the guys that hacked them, is that it was so obvious right away that they were hacked.
Yeah. That was actually the best part about it because it's like I didn't have to excuse anything.
Oh, that's Rochi. Like, okay. Yeah, that's Rochi. Look at the ad. That's Rochi.
Yeah. But there's no, like,
proud dad.
Like,
proud
there's
dad.
No, everyone knew that Bert got hacked. Like, even if you hated Bert, you knew he got hacked.
Yeah.
Like, no one's. Like, if you got a guy's account, you got to sprinkle something here.
Sure.
And then take some time and sprinkle something here.
Yeah, it's like the guys who take over, like, the fake Schefter tweets and things like that. You got to be kind of crafty. Pick your spots.
You had Father of the Year over here in the maternity ward of the Brigham, like, feverishly on my laptop trying to, like, change
sure.
my password.
I'm sure it's very easy to get on, to get the people in Twitter's attention. There was a guy that no longer works in this market that at one point did that. Did you know this, John? Did I ever show it to you?
What?
Didn't realize you could see who they were following.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the most egregious.
Are we talking about, the same guy?
Yeah, he worked in mornings somewhere else.
Yes.
And it was like.
That's right.
D-pics.
Yes, you've shown this to me. Yes.
DP.
Yeah.
It was like.
Completely unaware of the concept. That's very true. Yes, I've seen that.
Like, it was like.
Yeah.
And it was like not. It wasn't like a chick's butt. It was like, oh, hey. Yeah. This is
a woman and four of her close friends. Yeah. Yes.
No, a woman and four of her close friends. Like, a man who's.
All right.
Who let you know, like, I enjoyed my experience right now.
Sure.
And you've captured the moment.
Yep.
All right. Well, listen, that was a good football break. But we'll be back, and we will continue to talk free agency with Bert.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. All right. We were talking about Nate Solder and the market for him. And do you believe he's gone?
I think he's going to have a decision to make because I don't think that the Patriots are going to go quite where the Texans and the Giants will.
Now the Texans
have been involved in this from the start, okay? And obviously this relates to them trading Dwayne Brown. They're in this unique position that some teams find themselves in when they've got great young quarterbacks. The Eagles are in this position where they've got probably $20 million of cap space more than they should because their quarterback's on a rookie deal. And so the Texans have money to play with now, and this would be a great gift to give to their young quarterback. They traded Dwayne Brown last year after, like, you know, through all the Anthem stuff and everything else. And so now they've got an opening at left tackle. Nate Solder could solidify that. Nate Solder's got background in the offense, obviously, because Bill O'Brien's there. And so the Texans were in this from the start. The Giants pivoted. So the Giants were in on Andrew Norwell, who wound up becoming yesterday the highest paid guard in NFL history. And they had about $13 million a year budgeted for Andrew Norwell. Norwell winds up signing with the Jaguars. Now they pivot, and the Giants are in now on Solder. And so this is going to be interesting because I think Solder is going to have a decision to make. Do I want to take a little less to stay, or is it time for me to cash in and go? And, you know, look, it's...
Well, if he leaves, Bert, that goes into the thing you were saying with Amendola, and right? I mean, that's another one who says, you know what, it wasn't that fun, and I have my rings, and it's, like you said, it's time to take care
of me. Right, and he knows Bill O'Brien. He's got background with Billy. Billy was his coordinator when he was a rookie. And, look, it's the value of those positions now, too, man. Like, it is hard to find offensive linemen, go back 20 years, there was no surer thing than taking a left tackle at the top of the draft. You guys remember that. Jonathan Ogden, Tony Baselli. Yeah. If you took one at the top of the draft.
Rid of it. No, who's the guy for the dude from Michigan State that.
Baselli?
Yeah.
Not Marinovich. Mandrich.
Mandrich. Mandrich.
Tony
call.
Mandrich. Yep. Yeah, Tony
it's
Mandrich.
Amazing when they start testing harder for steroids.
But that was like an outlier.
Right.
Normally you take a left tackle at the top of the draft back then. And it was the surest thing in the world. Now, Luke Jokel, Greg Robinson. I mean, it's just there are lots of guys at the top of the draft because of the spread offense in college that you just haven't projected. And so teams are starting to spend more on veteran linemen. That's why Andrew Norwell is the highest paid guard. That's why Ryan Jensen, the Ravens center, is going to be near the top of the center chart when he signs today or tomorrow. And that's why Nate Solder is going to be comfortably in the top five and might wind up being the highest paid tackle when all is said and done here. And that, to me, is so interesting because Scar's done a great job, no question about it. One of the most valuable people in the building over the last 20 years. But he's always had that important piece taken care of. Like, that's always been taken care of. It was Matt Light, then it was Nate Solder. Like, how clean is that? Like, two players over the course of 17 years. So if they lose Nate, that's an issue.
Yeah, what do they do?
I mean, if you have left tackle taken care of, everything, like, flows from there.
No, but what's the backup plan? If they lose Solder, is there
They look at trying to bring Waddle back. And then the question becomes, is it Cannon on the left, Waddle on the right? Tony Garcia, who they drafted in the third round last year. Now, there are questions about his body, and he lost some weight when he got sick last year. Garcia was a player who when I started making calls on the draft, at the end of January, beginning of February last year, some teams looked at him like, could he go late first round, early second round? So he's highly regarded coming out of Troy. You know, the question is, after a rookie year that was, you know, in some way lost to his illness, you know, now is he ready to go? And do they know enough about him? Do they, like having seen him like losing all that practice time, everything else, do they know enough about him at this point to be able to count on him at left tackle?
Now, if they lose Solder, how pissed is Brady? Because if you look at Deion Lewis leaving, which he probably accepts, and then you look at Amendola, and then you look at Solder.
That got him on Instagram, his little tribute for Amendola. That one got him.
And Gronk is still up in the air.
Right.
Like, there's just, I mean, I think that's a fair question.
Is Solder one of those guys that Brady would get? Like, would it hurt him, like Amendola leaving or like Gronk leaving?
Yeah, I think it would hurt him. Yeah, I think he would be upset about that. Now, that said, we've been here before, right?
Right.
He was upset when Welker left. He was really upset. Deion Branch.
Branch.
Like, you remember,
one, yeah.
he took a below market deal in 2005 and was told, we're going to take care of some of the young guys in the team. And then in one offseason, they lost David Givens and Deion Branch, and he was pissed. He was really upset about that. And in 2006, you could argue that was one of the most impressive seasons he had, because he was working with nothing, with, you know, freaking Rashae Caldwell. You guys remember that year. Yeah. Jabbar Gaffney.
Doug Gabriel.
Doug Gabriel.
Who
traded for him.
Chad Jackson.
And they got to the AFC title game. So
should have won
this
it,
isn't, this is in no way saying that Brady won't produce. I believe he'll be good in 2018, regardless of the circumstances. But if you want to look at chipping away at the relationship between quarterback and coach, I don't think it helps when you have these guys, you know, taking their coat off the rack and walking out the door.
One question real quick about the top of the draft. Cleveland, of course, has number one overall pick. They signed Carlos Hyde this morning, like within the last hour.
Yeah.
Is that signing good enough for them to take a pass on Saquon Barkley at number one?
Look, do you really believe that Saquon Barkley is going to be the first overall pick?
No. No, because why? Because and then you're going to wait till four, and so someone's trading up.
Saquon's a good play. Saquon's an incredible prospect.
Or all together with their first two picks.
Look, I think Saquon's better than Todd Gurley was coming out, than Ezekiel Elliott was coming out, than Leonard Fournette was coming out. That position is too easy to fill to spend the first overall pick on it.
Especially
Leonard Fournette last year. Leonard Fournette last year was really, really good. No one would argue that Jacksonville got that wrong, right?
No.
Yet, the Chiefs, whose GM, John Dorsey, is now in Cleveland, drafted the NFL rushing champion with the 86th pick. Kareem Hunt went 86th. And so this isn't about, I mean, I think the two best players in the draft are a running back, Barkley, and a guard.
Quinton Nelson from Notre Dame.
But the value of those positions is such where, you know, they could wind up sliding a little bit. I think there's a good chance not only Saquon Barkley goes behind a couple quarterbacks, I think there's a good chance he goes behind the pass rusher too, behind Bradley Chubb from NC State. So I think Barkley is a great prospect. I think the Browns would really seriously look at him at four,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think he's going
to. I don't think there's any way they're keeping that fourth pick.